to sing on this one?
I want you to sing as much as you want, man. I think it's great.
Get down with me. I think we could do it.
I think we can do it, too. You ready to do it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's jump into it, man. CT Live and Local, 99.1 PLR. And my first ever guest that I had on Live and Local when I like started it up at the station proper, it's the man, it's Pete Francis. Thank you for being
back.
Thank
you, man. It's great to be here.
Isn't it cool? I was telling your social media about manager about it before, and it was 5 years ago, and it was right before the world ended.
Yeah.
Which is crazy
right,
to me.
Off a cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was either February or January that we first spoke.
Right. Yeah. And then it happened in March, right?
And then it happened in March.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you know what I did the night before the schools closed?
I want to know.
I went to the Allman Brothers. They were doing the 50th anniversary thing. And it was with like Warren and Derek and all of those guys. And it was at Madison Square fucking Garden.
That is. And where were your seats?
They weren't great seats. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I was surrounded by like 15,000. Well, no, more like 7,000 people, because half of those people decided not to go because the world was. We all knew that the world was about to end.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yes.
But we were like sharing joints and like just sipping beers and, you know, passing stuff around. And it's a miracle we didn't all die after that
evening. Imagine that. Just boom, all of them like.
Exactly.
No, it didn't happen.
And you know what? The worst part is that I spent $100-something on those tickets. And my buddy went with me. And then as we're on the Metro North into the city, he pulls up the tickets. He goes, listen, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I just wanted to show you what the tickets are going for. And he pulled out his phone. They were like $15 because everybody was so terrified of being in public places.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it was a terrible decision.
It was a crazy, you know, driving on 95, going into the city and it being a ghost town. Like, it's, I still can't believe it happened.
Wasn't that a trip?
Yeah.
And I work so early in the morning that, you know, that's not – it. Even now, I'll be driving in at 4:30 a.m., and it's still more packed than it was back then.
Yes.
Than it was back then. So what – you know what? Let's go big picture with it, man. What has changed in your life the most since the pandemic?
I think that's a very good question.
Move up on that
thing, man,
a little bit.
That's a great question. You know, I was – working on an EP called Belong to the Band. And
that's right.
I had heard, I don't know if you know Reverend Gary Davis, but just pretty extraordinary blind guitar player, singer. And a buddy of mine had played that record. And I heard that, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, I belong to the band. Mm. And I guess that's a big part of what I would say about my life in music, is that belonging to the band, being in a band, is just such a great feeling. And I know this goes for, not everybody's a musician, but some people are big fans or doing sound. And I think what I loved about my years with Dispatch or, you know, was getting to know the people and belonging, you know, a sense of belonging.
Yeah, community.
Community. And I almost felt like in all those years of playing, we really wanted to talk to people afterwards, you know, and get to know them. And then on July 31st, 2004, 110,000 people showed up. Mm. And part of the reason I think it was that is because those were people we talked to. Those were people we hung out with. Those are people that wrote messages on those message boards. And remember that? That was just the beginning.
The blog scene.
We're just flying through time here.
Well, it was such a thing with you guys because Dispatch was such a was a community band. That's how it came up. It came up, you know, through the file share. You guys hit the file sharing. It is funny because this is mirroring really our first conversation from 5 years ago. You guys came up with the file sharing, but also with, you know, people burning CDs and the mixtapes and all of that. And you guys didn't have a label. And yet you were able to, you know, play the garden and sell out these massive venues. And that's not weird now, because we have YouTube and we have Twitch and we have all of these different platforms that people can get, like, you know, a massive amount of awareness without major label backing. But when you guys did it, it was unheard of.
It was pretty, it was unusual.
And it was a result of community.
I think so.
You know what? I mean, that's the best answer to my question about the post. We all kind of realize the importance of community in our lives, right?
I think you're right, man. It was when my brother or sister played me a song, let's say a Spin Doctor song, and I hear that, and then I'm like, I got to play that again. Yeah. I got to hear that. I want that. And I think that Napster thing was similar. People saw a song, somebody shared a Dispatch song, and I think that gift of music, which is always free when you're talking to people, because you're in a sense saying, you're not paying them for that answer. You know, they're like, check it out.
Yeah.
That kind of giving and sharing, I just think is still crucial. It was certainly crucial for us.
Yeah.
And meant a lot to us. And probably, but I think you do bring up a really good point of all of these mediums, what's going on, and, you know, a lot of interesting stuff without, you know, I think there's a tendency to get negative, can be, about it. But, like,
easily.
What opportunities are happening? And I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's a big question.
Well, I think there's a massive opportunity for art right now. So I was talking to, do you know the Mushroom Cloud guys? Do you know the Mushroom Cloud?
I feel like I know. Are they in this area?
They're in this area. Yeah. And they've been playing music in Connecticut, you know, just forever. And they're great dudes. I asked them, because of everything that's going on in the government and around the world, and there's war, there's genocide, there's Trump, who's just a polarizing figure, no matter how, you know, you want to look at it. What is the role of the artist in this day and age?
Because
I
think you raised something that's really big, and I'll tell you what a friend has said to me. Don't fight the darkness, bring your light. And if we go and get tangled in the darkness, if we get tangled in these wars, why are people bullying? Why are they putting it down? What's going on? There's this sort of sensationalism, and I think that sensationalism we saw on reality television years ago kind of slid into politics to some regard.
I mean, it's, you know, Trump was the reality TV star.
He's the star. He nailed it.
And I don't think anyone's, I'm sure people have written that before. I don't know that I've ever had a conversation where someone put it quite so succinctly. Yeah, that early 2000s reality TV sensationalism was such a huge part of all the content that we took in. How could it not eventually bleed into the rest of society?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes a bully does something in a class and all of a sudden it gets all this attention talked about, right?
Yes.
But in the end, did it give good vibes? No. So I think art and the artist is, you stay with the work, what you're creating.
Yeah.
And then you continue to share that energy with other like-minded people. But who wants to go down the dark road of, we could just really complain.
Yeah.
To our, you know.
And a lot of people do. We've got the platforms for it.
You got it. The, you know, but so, I see, I'm still an optimist in the sense that, you know, there will be stuff out of this. And that kind of thing, don't fight the darkness, bring your light. Particularly with art, people, to make art and to be stand up, you got to be brave.
Yeah.
You have to have courage, you know, because it may suck. Sometimes it may suck and people may put it down, but there may be a few people that you go, you gave me something.
Right.
And because of that gift, I'm going to give something, you know?
I love that, man. I love that. And I think what the guys said when I was talking to them was that, you know, it's, there's going to be a lot that's going to come out of this period. And I think, you know, you talk about optimism and I find it hard to find a lot of days, but I do think that, you know, something that we can find optimism in is that idea that so much great art comes out of struggle and so much great art comes out of times of turmoil, that we can at least look forward to that, right? Like, that's
absolutely
nice.
Or maybe you get into the process of it and your mind, you know, sometimes you have to train your mind a little. Your mind just wants to be the boss.
Oh, my
right?
therapist has right? been doing cognitive behavioral therapy with
yeah,
me
man.
For several years.
I've had that.
I've been training that mind, boy.
I'm in that. But what I have noticed, it's almost like a kid that you can't, they're like, you know, doing this, but you bring them to that little play zone, mm-hmm. and then it's hypnosis, right?
Yeah.
And you almost have to get yourself into that or with others and make something.
Yeah,
I think that that is more of an antidote than F you and I'll be a bully too. I just don't, that never works.
I agree with that. Well, let's talk about your play zone, and let's talk
yeah.
about your community, because you know
yeah.
you are solo artist is, you know, is the term that we've got to use, but you have never functioned as one in the 5 years that like we've been friends and that I've known you. It's always been you bringing in a whole bunch of other artists and people and collaborators. You love that. It's clear in everything that you do. So tell me, I guess, about the collaborations that you're doing right now, about the music that you're doing right now, and the people that you're working with, man.
Yeah. Man, like you're saying, I love all genres. And a friend of mine said, I want to make genre-less music.
Right.
You
well,
know?
That's the goal, right? That's the first question
isn't
that every musician I ask.
Isn't that like, and everybody says that, but, and then they're like, well, you know, what are you doing? But in my sense, like, if I can write a kind of rap Beastie Boys song, if I can go straight funk,
mm-hmm.
if I could write a song like Cat Stevens,
yeah.
you know, if I could somehow write a hook like Bob Marley. So these to
can
me.
Can I just point out that your song Bang Bang ticks every single one of those boxes real quick? It's just, sorry, it's just like, as you were talking, I was like, oh, I think I know a song that hits all those little, you know,
100%,
points.
Man. I think that was part of Dispatch's path when pretty exciting times when we were like, you know, Brad might beatbox and you do a thing or something is, you know, we were very influenced by Check Your Head, the Beastie Boys record.
Yeah.
We were very influenced because we saw, holy shit, these guys, they're amazing rappers.
Yep.
But then they're picking up their instruments. And MCA is playing upright bass. So that shit, that was cool.
Yeah.
And so that then opened the doorway to say, hey, we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brad, you know, when I met Brad and he was 20, he wasn't that experienced of a drummer.
Yeah.
And not many people know that. Or I could hardly play bass. But I think that you put yourself in the situation and, oh, I can play bass.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And you stand up there. And you're like, I'm playing bass.
When you accept it as part of your identity, or no, not even accept it, when you want it,
right.
when you really fucking want it to be who you are, and you get your, it's amazing how good you get, how fast you
fast,
can get good.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And you just say, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was definitely, so with my solo work, I'm kind of keeping that going. You know, right now I'm working with a great label called Dubshot Records. And they put out a lot of reggae stuff.
Mm.
They just put out a Kimani Marley single. And I was extremely fortunate. My wife Katie and I went with Mannix and his wife Mannix, who runs the label.
Yeah.
And we saw the Marley brothers in Bridgeport.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was phenomenal.
That's really
cool.
It
was phenomenal. Man, they're singing their dad's songs, and every song's a gem. And talk about positivity. That's what they are, you know. They're, though, in my opinion, those guys are about kindness and love.
Well, that's, I mean, that's the music that came out of like the most struggle, right? It comes out of poverty. It comes out of, you know,
that's
like
a, that's
it,
a good point.
It comes
yeah.
out of struggle. It comes
yeah.
out of racism. It comes
it
out of colonialism. If
right.
you're talking about Jamaica
sure.
and you know music from there, like that's where the good shit is,
yeah.
man. You know,
talk about his bravery.
And his optimism.
And his
to
optimism.
Your point, his
yeah.
optimism. Though.
But how about singing positive vibration? Yeah,
right.
Like, I mean, how hip is that? You know,
I mean, just three little birds.
Three little birds.
How is it possible that it was the 70s before somebody just put that phrase that way over the simplest progression known to mankind, and we were just like, oh yeah, right.
Well, that
right. How has it taken this long for someone to just say it like that?
That's a good. You know, it's hard to do simple well.
Yeah.
That's the that's
very one of, well said.
Yeah, yeah, it's very hard to do simple well. Tom Petty was a master of it.
Yes.
You know, but I won't back down. You and I could say, "Hey, man, you know, I'm not going to back down." But then he goes, "That's the hook."
Yeah. It's also the verse.
And it's also the verse.
That's all you need.
And Bob does the similar thing. You know, don't worry about a thing, right? You're hooked.
Yeah.
So that to me is a sign that if you can get simple, but it's soulful, you could access a lot of people.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir. All right. Tell me about the latest single. Now there's a dance mix that's been made out of it.
There's a
dance
mix.
But you've got the regular version too.
I got the regular. So this has been a cool challenge.
Yeah.
And you know, to say, all right, I've got this song Shine, but what about making it a dance mix?
Yeah.
Okay, who do I think has done interesting? I thought of Avicii.
Right.
And I thought,
yep,
acoustic guitars, good singer. The climbs, the drops.
Peaks and valleys, yeah.
Peaks and valleys. How do you do that? And then working with a great producer, friend of mine, Scott Jacoby, and he had a recording of some reggae band that sounded like early 70s Marley. And he said, let's take the vocal, let's speed it up. And then all of it was, shine like the moon, shine like the sun, shine everyone. But you know, mine is... Now that you're here, sit down with me, my thoughts disappear, I can just be, or you shine like the moon. Shine like the sun, shine everyone. So that's where I was, my starting place.
Yeah.
You know, and then I thought, how can we make that in a different version? How can we make it dance? And a friend of mine who does Tabata music.
What is Tabata music?
Tabata is like a dance music, that exercise, like this Brazilian dance music. He's like, check out my buddy who's an engineer. And I thought, this dude can make Four on the Floor like a dance thing and turn that song that I was just playing and that hook into a dance thing. So I love that you can sort of do the chameleon thing with different songs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So what does the band look like right now? Who's on not even just the dance version of the record, but like the actual record?
The actual record, let's see. My buddy Andy Kay did some bass on it.
Andy Kay, a good guy.
Yeah, he's
I got to meet him a couple times.
He's a great guy. Who else did stuff? I did a good amount. My buddy who I wrote the tune with, Grant Michaels, did a lot of great production. And the other singer is Ben Higginbotham from the band Cypress. And his voice, man... He's a real singer.
Yeah.
Like he is a... So I would definitely check this song out to hear. He's from Houston, and he's like a young Greg Allman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play me, can you, or even just tell me, what was the lyric at the start of that verse? One more time.
Yeah. Now that you're here, sit down with me. My thoughts disappear, and I can just be.
So that was the line that stuck to me, and that's because I'm like the most ADD human being in the entire world, and that's the thing that I struggle with the most, is to shut the brain off and to get. So I guess my question is. Is that a person that you're talking about, or is that something else? Is that a song for something?
I think it's me, you, other people. I think that, to me, that's a human. I think that's while other people would say I'm ADD, you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know,
but what is the thing? What is the thing?
It's my what is
that
the thing?
that lets you be
shine like the moon, shine like the sun,
right,
shine everyone. So in my mind, I don't you could put people as villains, bullies, some amazingness, yeah. But deep down, everyone has the ability to shine. And then we all have this, we all know there's a sun in the sky,
yeah.
And a moon. So these are fundamental truths. So that's a fundamental truth that we can shine and that everyone can shine.
Yeah.
And so that comes back to what you and I were talking about earlier about belonging to the band. So to my mind, it's not always a musical band,
yeah.
But it's a band in the sense of togetherness, working together. And I grew up a big soccer player. You know, I loved it.
Yeah.
And there was nothing better than those van rides.
Just being with the team.
Being with the team and joking around. And even if you didn't do something so great in a game, maybe there was one pass. So that, to me, is hitting on this team. And what I think is what the phones and this, I think we're going like this with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and... It's not like it's going to be like that forever. And I don't think everything's bad about the phones. There's some, these are like Star Trek. Like, remember watching Star Trek?
That's right.
And like That's people right. were zooming on Star Trek, and now we're zooming for real.
Right. Well, the thing with Star Trek is they had figured out how to make the peaceful society and the technology. We got the technology first. Now we got to figure out the other half that Jean-Luc Picard was talking about.
If Musk gets people to beam up to Mars, that would be a different story. But, you know, I don't want to travel a whole year to get there.
No, I'm good on Mars.
Plus,
in
it's
going to
be chilly.
Yeah, they say it's cold. What, actually, you know what? You know, you're talking about that, and it just makes me think of this thing. You know, my dad came to visit me about a month ago, and he said the most interesting thing, man. You know, he came and he hung out with me, and he hung out with his grandson, my son, and then he left. And you know, when you like your parents come and they visit and they leave, and they always send you the "it was so great seeing you," blah blah blah. So my dad sent me that text, and I had a relatively new job with my company. You know, my son had started kindergarten and he's learning all kinds of stuff and he can write shit now and is, you know, and all of that. And it's my father mentioned none of that. He wrote me and he goes, "Hey, it's great to see you. Really proud of you. Really proud of the community that you've built up around you." Like, of all of the things that he could talk about my professional, mm-hmm. you know, relative success. Mm-hmm. He could talk about how incredible his grandson is and everything like that. But the thing that he harped on immediately and stuck on was the fact that I had friends and people around me.
How good does that feel?
It felt really fucking good, You know, it felt like the last thing that would feel amazing to have your father say they're proud of you for. But I was like, damn, I do a little bit.
He nailed it, yeah.
He kind of did.
Yeah.
He kind of did. So, sorry, I want to go back to that lyric, though, because I struggle with this all the time. What quiets your mind? What are the things that shut off your thoughts and quiet your mind?
One thing that I did not know about or did not practice is gratitude.
Okay.
And I actually started to say some prayers out loud. I don't think I'm necessarily religious, but I do believe in energy and good vibes. To me, that's very real. So sometimes I say, this interview today, or what your dad said to you, like, holy shit. You know, so in that way, I think that helps us shed the voices that are always criticizing us.
Gratitude.
And then coming back to things you love. I know from jamming on stage with you, you love guitar.
Oh, God, that was so great.
Yeah.
That was so great.
We had so much fun.
I really did.
So I think the other thing is that simple pleasures. Mm. Simple pleasures.
Like what?
I mean, is it a cup of tea? Is it a walk by the beach? Is it holding your son's hand?
Yeah.
You know, I think the tendency is to go, how do we, you know, this, particularly America is, how rich are you? What do you do this, do that? How, am I this? Am I that? Do I look like that? So at some point, I just feel like that lever is getting turned off.
Yeah.
And I'm just going back to, like, Pete. I'm going back to, you know, I love guitars. So if I go into the 30th Street Guitars where my friends are in the city, and they're talking about, you know, Rosewood Back Inside and the Spruce Top, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah, man.
You know? So it is funny that the smaller, maybe seemingly insignificant things, we would just pass over.
Yeah.
But we may see that those would, in fact, be things that
well, that's settle. I mean, that's what we look for. We think that the new job is going to make us happy. We think that we got to find the right person. You know, single people think, I got to get into the right relationship. I have to, you know, find a different career. I have to find a new house. I have to get a better car. Yeah. I have to, you know, and these are all major life changes that bring stress and anxiety and extra things like that. And when in reality, what you need to do is just slow the fuck down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, you know, get an ice cream with your kid and watch a little March Madness, which of course I just did this past weekend. It was awesome.
That's so fun. And you and I don't know if we talked about last time, but, you know, I've dealt with mental health thing, but instead of mental illness, I was saying mental forgiveness.
You called it your superpower.
We talked that deep down, that can be fuel.
Yeah.
Instead of that's draining me.
Yeah.
So we're going to, so perspective is really interesting to me. How am I looking at this? You know, or did I ask somebody that I love if they need my help in a way? Am I thinking about another person, or even am I thinking about myself? I need that beach walk, or I need to strum my acoustic guitar with my friend.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost just activating. And do you, that phrase, move a muscle, move a thought. Have you heard that phrase?
I haven't, no.
It's like, so if I'm sitting here, I'm ruminating, I'm like, fucking, but then I'm like, I'm going there, who there, and all of a sudden, mind goes, must follow and change.
Right. And the constant fidgeting and the constant agitation. And dude, no, I mean, I feel it. I feel it all the time.
I am a master of ruminating. But I try to say, can those thoughts be productive? You know, organizing helps me. I know who really wants to do that. I am a terrible cook, but I'm good at dishes.
Okay.
And so I put my ear pods in to my favorite music, and I treat those dishes like gold.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. It is, and it's those little things that are so hard to get started.
They're tough to get started, but it is funny. You get started, and you're like, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Little pleasures are fantastic, but everybody also needs the big evening, the big event, the big night out.
Yeah,
and you got a big night out coming up.
Yep.
And so let's talk about that, baby. Park City Music Hall. Pete Francis is coming.
Well, you know what? It's FTC this time.
FTC. And you know why I said that is because the last person I had in here was John Torres.
No way.
Shit.
John, John, we've had some great gigs there, and that's a great venue.
But yeah, FTC, you're coming, man. Tell
FTC,
me about it.
FTC, I know this sounds crazy, but the last time I played there was 17 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. So I think to myself, I just feel like this is the first time I'm playing. I don't feel any different when I was 18 going to the gig than now. I'm 27, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. I wasn't going to call you out. I wasn't gonna tell that lie. I mean, I wasn't going to give the lie away.
I know. I should have said 37, but okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So, yeah, man, I really like the town of Fairfield. A buddy of mine went to school there, and I think they've done such a nice job with having two theaters. And there's nothing like, and I think that's what our country needs more of. You know, you'd feel like probably should be more government grants for artists, for musicians,
You
know?
I think so.
But I don't know how we control that. So in that regard, what can we do? as artists and musicians. And, you know, the question sometimes, like, well, I'm just starting out, what I'm doing, what am I doing, what advice do you have? And my advice is make every step count. Make, if you're playing a backyard barbecue, make it the best backyard barbecue.
Right, play the hell out of it. Play the hell out of it.
Why not?
And I've been in so many bands that have played to empty rooms, and you all, you know, just, you know, you look at yourself and you say, all right, whatever, paid practice, you guys, let's go. No, don't do that. Don't, where's the camera? Don't do that, new bands. Don't. It's not good for you.
I've done it, the empty rooms, so you feel like shit, but then.
Oh, it's so bad.
You're like, wait a second. So bad. Let's jam, or maybe I can make the bass player laugh. So, yeah.
Right. All right, well, tell me about this gig. What do you got
so
planned?
So FDC,
Who are you bringing, man?
It's going to be, I'm working with a very cool drummer named Chip Thomas. And just, you know, he has fantastic style. He hit me. I thought it'd be interesting to work with a bassist that played upright and electric. Oh. So this guy, Dylan... it was funny, man. I went into his apartment and I was like, well, let's run 2 hours of music. And the other thing is I saw on his Instagram that he played chess. And I love chess.
Okay.
So then I knew there was a way to connect. But of course, he beat me both games.
Guys who flex about playing chess know how to play that chess.
Yeah,
man.
I didn't want to flex too much because I like it. But then it's a hard game.
I love that tone.
Thank you. But man, you know what? The best, just coming out of it, just be like, this dude can play. He could play upright. And
like MCA, we were talking about that earlier.
Like MCA,
baby.
And then also a great guitar player named Adam November. And Adam plays with Karina Reichman, who is...
I love Karina Reichman. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've never met her, but she seems really cool.
I never met her either. She seems great. But he's like a sonic wizard.
Yeah.
His playing is very cool. He's sort of influenced by Nels Klein, the Wilco guitar player, with his effects.
Yeah.
So it's the four of us. My wife Katie comes up for, and then I have two dudes that are going to play horns.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Remember my song? It's called Sun Fuzz. It's like
it is,
a funky.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Did I play it? I feel like I just played that on PLR.
Yes.
I played Love Me in the Morning, which is probably one of my favorite songs that you've ever put out.
Thank you.
And then that's the other one because it's got that riff. It's got that hook.
It's
on
got
it.
The hook.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm psyched for you to check out this dance version. It was, you know, it was really cool to work on. And in some ways, I was thinking like, how does Dua Lipa get these songs to sound so good?
Well, she's got the guy from Tame Impala producing
on
them.
The
That's part
of it. He's a master. So we wanted the low end, and I think we got it, to be kind of clear and bumping.
When was the last time you heard slap bass on a freaking pop tune before her song a couple of years ago?
Exactly.
It was great. No, yeah, that's the move right
now.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Man.
It's
that
very
is.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, well, listen. Pete Francis, coming to FTC. What's the date for me?
April 12th.
There we go.
It's going to be a great show.
I can't wait for it, brother. And check out the new single, Shine, the dance version as well.
Yep.
Bust a little bit. Do you want to play us out? You want to
play
a little
I'll
something?
Yeah, I'll play it out.
Give me something, dude.
Can I just say a quick thing? Is that...
Please do.
My song, Smile. I don't know if you... You got to smile. Every day is gonna keep your troubles far away. You got to smile. Every day gonna keep your troubles far away. So we're working on this, and I was just introduced to a producer. You're gonna love his name.
Sure.
James Bonsai Caruso.
Dude.
And Bonsai, he goes by Bonsai.
And my son's name is James, too. So there's layers happening.
You might be seeing and be like, Bonsai.
I'm going to call him that now. I'm going to call him that later today.
But Bonsai, well, I did a little research, and this guy is a legend. I saw some interviews 8 or 9 months working with Madonna.
Yeah.
Work with Biggie. He He did Welcome to Jamrock, the Damian Marley record.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
He did.
God, when I was in college, that shit was everywhere. You could not escape.
You could not escape it.
Yes.
Mind control. So my thought was, why don't we're talking to the folks at Dubshot Records, why don't we let him produce it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's that example that I'm sure you've heard. Give these people the stems. And the stems are the tracks.
Yeah.
Kinda, and then go to town with it. So I thought I'd just let me give a little bit of smile and then maybe into shine.
Love
that.
How's that
sound?
Love that. Medley it.
When the sky, it looks like rain, one sweet song can light the day. Close my eyes and feel the breeze blow those clouds away. When the blues come over me, I can hear the symphony. Music, love, serenade, sunshine on the way. You got to smile every day. You're gonna keep your troubles far away. You got to smile every day. You're gonna keep your troubles far away. Now that you're here, sitting with me, my thoughts disappear, and I can just be. Well, you shine like the moon, you shine like the sun. Shine everyone. Green river flows like rice melting. Later it will run black down its track into an ocean. She stands on the bridge, yeah. Dim light on the back, well, someday I will carry you. Yes, I know I will carry you. I will carry you. I will. I gotta wake up in the morning. Johnny and Lisa, they gotta wake up in the morning.
Ah, baby.
Yeah.